Well, good morning, church. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. We're going to pray. We're going to ask the Lord to come within our midst. It's what a beautiful day the Lord has made. We're rejoicing and we're glad in it. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads as we ask the Lord to come in this place. Heavenly Father, what an honor and a privilege it is to be here in your house on this beautiful Sunday morning. And Father, not only is it beautiful because the weather is just blue skies and it's just not a cloud in the sky, but Father, it's beautiful because this is the day you have made. And you are alive, you have risen, and you're here with us this morning. And so I pray, God, that you would have your hand over your service, over your church, and over us, your people. Father, I pray you speak to each and every one of us through the music, through the tithe and offerings, through the announcements, even, of course, your word. Speak to us all this morning. We're believing this by faith. May we be challenged. May we be awakened. May we this morning be reminded that you love us more than anything, Father. So thank you for bringing us here, Home Church of the Nazarene. The blood of Christ over your church, we pray. This morning, in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. Who is glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Yes, amen. We got some announcements before we start. We want to welcome you all again. If you're watching online, we want to say thank you for being here with us online. VBS starts June 17th from the 19th. And let me just challenge maybe some of the grandparents. A couple weeks ago, I had a grandparent tell me, you know what, my kids don't go to church, my children go to church, but can I bring my kids to VBS? Yes, you can. Matter of fact, you can bring the neighbor's kids to VBS, okay? If you know anybody that wants to come to VBS, bring them to VBS. It's going to be a wonderful time. They'll be singing songs, they'll be worshiping God, be doing crafts, and it's just going to be a great time from 6 to 8 p.m. What's the date again? Oh, it's on the thing. You guys can see it. From the 17th through the 19th. Amen. Okay, here we go. Drum roll on this one. Hold on. 4th of July barbecue, June 30th. Yes, and that's going to be an amazing time. I don't know if you guys like barbecued ribs, tri-tip, and carne asada. But it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. And then all the little extras that go in between, we're praying for a good day that day. And not only is that going to be an amazing day because, actually, you know what? I have a surprise for some people, for you all that day. I'm going to hold off on that, okay? We have a surprise on June 30th, and so I'm just going to hold off on that. But I'm excited to see what's going to happen that day. Don't forget, Mark Butler, our missions president, challenged us to set aside $500 a week. No, sorry. $5, not 500. $5 a week starting May 1st and ending September 30th to go to the alabaster offering. Now, that was accident, but you know what? Sometimes I don't believe in accident. That might have been God just come out of my mouth right there. Okay, so if he's telling you $500, you better listen, and may you be blessed. Alabaster funds missionaries and ministries around the world to help build homes. So give to our alabaster. And I love what he says too. You know, set some money aside. If you're going to Starbucks once a week, if you're going to, I don't know, what's the other one, Dutch Bros? Okay, you're going to whatever one, maybe just set $5 aside a week and put it into the alabaster and just know your money is doing more than what Starbucks could ever do. Okay? How many know money has influence? Money is influential. It really is. Has power to do good, has power to do bad. My question is, what is your money influencing? You know? And so may we be challenged. Mark challenged us. He said, not 500, $5 a week if we can, okay? And so let's try to do that. And I was so appreciate a couple that came. They said, you know, Pastor, we're actually saving our money. We're not going to Starbucks anymore. We're just taking the money that we have, and we're supporting the home cafe. Yeah, okay. Amen. And so I thought it was really beautiful. So thank you for doing that. We will be going to one service during the summer months. As you can see, yes, yeah. one service during summer months starting in June. Service will be at 6 a.m. No, I'm joking. Just joking. Service will be at 10:30. And we will be still be holding Mike Machosik's Bible study, and that will be starting at, I believe, 9 o'clock. So if you want to go to Mike Machosik's Bible study, that starts at 9 o'clock, and service will be at 10:30. Amen. All right, well, let's all stand to our feet. We're going to go into a time of meet and greet. This is one of my favorite times where we just get to shake someone's hand. Yes, thank you. Folks, I apologize. You may be seated. Sorry. Thank you. Can we have our quizzers come up, please? Just line up right here. Just line up right here. Now, they might look a little tired this morning, and that's only because they drove for a few hours. We left Friday morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. We didn't get to San Diego till 12 hours later. After that, we went to the beach, and we wanted to celebrate God's goodness and His creation. They swam like fishes, and then we went to bed, I think around 12:30 in the morning. They woke up early in the morning, around 7 o'clock, 7:30. Actually, I think some of the boys went to bed later than that, because Carlos kept having to tell them, guys, go to bed, guys, go to bed. But they quizzed, and out of the 6 districts, they got 4th place. Amen. And then after that, we did the award ceremony. They did the award ceremony. And Mateo got to pray to close in prayer. And what an honor that was. And then after that, we drove back. And we got in last night at 1:30. And we went to bed at 2:30. And we're here this morning by God's grace. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So can we all stand? And I want to just take this time to let you, here, I'm just going to face you guys. I don't tell you guys enough. I know I say it a lot, but I don't say it enough. I am proud of you guys. If the church only knew each kid and the struggles they go through in life. Life's not peachy. Life's not peachy, but you know what? God gets them through it all. And we are proud of you. Your church is proud of you. From Mia, Uriah, my gosh, have you guys grown? And I'm not talking in size. Well, in size too, you've grown in size. I'm talking spiritually. Mateo, Arabella, Maddie, Kenzie, my, have you grown? And my heart's broken a little bit because you guys are no longer going to be doing kids quizzing. Some of you are graduating to teen quizzing. Hopefully, we'll see. And we want to thank God. It was kind of a last minute thing. Arabella, she's only 7. I'm sorry, she's 8. Sorry. No, she needs to go back in the womb is what she needs to do. This little girl is 7. Yeah, she's 7. No, she's 8 years old. And they asked her to be the team captain for the All-Stars. They needed some help. And so we had our church team quiz and then the All-Stars. It's a different team. And Arabella got to lead that and did a wonderful job. And so... can we give them a hand this morning? We're going to take this time right now to meet and greet you kids. Do me a favor, stay right here. Church family, just come and just congratulate them. Let's embrace them and let's say hi to one another. Let's take a few minutes to do that. Thank you.
I need somebody who's in love will never Good morning. Pardon the frog in my throat. We have a birthday in the house. Jen, would you come over here, please? I want you all to know that when God created Jennifer McKnight Metzger, he looked down and he said, "Well done." And I think that we would all agree, well done. We are so blessed, Jen, to have you as our administrative secretary. And we hope that your birthday was wonderful and that it will continue to be wonderful. You have my permission to celebrate a month at a time. So let's give her a hand one more time. And you know the routine. You have to give the card back to me.
We're going to go into a time of tithe and offerings this morning. If we can silence our phones, please. What an honor it is to be able to come into the Lord's house and give of our hard-earned money, money that we've worked for. How many of you know you can tell a lot about a person when they're down and out? You know, people... when they're desperate, when they're in need of saving, sometimes people, they've said, are willing to do anything for money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Money's not evil, but you can tell a lot about what's in a person's heart. There was a man, he was a young man, who was down on his luck, and he prayed, saying, "God, I need you for something." And God says, "Young man, you can have anything you want. Just ask me. I can do anything. I can't promise anything, but what do you need?" He says, "God, isn't it true that a second to you is like 1,000 years to me?" God said, "Yes, a second to me is 1,000 years, yes." The young man then said, "Is it true that one of your pennies is like $1,000,000 to me?" God answered and said, "Yes, my son." The young man prayed, "Lord, please, please, Lord, give me just half of one of your pennies." God answered and said, "Just a second." You see, I really believe God, at the end of the day, he knew what was in this man's heart. The love of money. God said, "You can have anything you want." You know, if God asked you this morning, you could have anything you want. There's nothing wrong with wanting, needing money and wanting to be blessed. But what's really in our heart? You know, when you think about that, and obviously the Lord knew that there was something else going on in this man's life. The scripture says here in Matthew, "Do not lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where is our treasure this morning? If our treasure is in the things of this world, well, our heart will be there. If our treasure is in the things of God, our heart will be there. Amen. I'm believing God that I know there are people here. God wants to multiply you. He wants to multiply and grow your gifts, not only financially, but bleeding into other areas of your life. But sometimes it's the principles giving is a very powerful principle. God says, test me. This story kind of reminds me of another story of a man. He says, you know, God is a farmer. He was a really upset farmer. He said, God, I need more pigs. And he says, God, if you give me 100 pigs, I'll give you 50. God says, really? He says, yes. You give me 100 pigs, I will give you 50 of those pigs. I'll help people. I'll use those to make some crispy bacon. And God says, well, you have 2 pigs and you don't even give me 1. How are you going to give me 50? May we be faithful in the little. As we're faithful in little, we'll be faithful in much. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand to our feet as we pray over the Lord's, his money, his sacred money. We have 3 ways to tithe, to offer, to give offering. This morning, we have a basket in the back, a box right here when you walk in to your right. You can give there. You can lay your offering here at the feet of Christ right here in the basket. And we also have a way you can give online. And so we encourage you. So if you're watching online, I said this a couple weeks ago, you're not exempt this morning. If you're watching online, may we encourage you this morning to step out in faith and honor God with your tithe and offerings this morning. If you're watching online, we thank you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you have done in our lives, what you are doing in our children. We thank you, Lord. We can't thank you enough. Father, I pray that the money that's given this morning, God, the influence that it has to do good, Father, that it would influence not only here within our own community, but, Father, nations around the world. Around the world. People's lives and communities will be changed and touched by what we give. Father, if we give a dollar this morning, I pray you may stretch that into 100. If we give 100, may you stretch that into 1,000. If we give 1,000, Lord, Father, may you stretch that to 10,000, Father. Father, we need you this morning. Bless the gift and the giver. And may we give with a cheerful heart. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a doctor in the house. Amen. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. We also have another doctor in the house. And her name is Amanda Fries. Amen. Dr. Amanda Fries this morning. Amen. Amanda, we are so proud of you. Amen. Since we met, I remember the first time Matt and Amanda came to church. We went out to lunch. I think we went with the Metzgers, and we're out eating. And she was talking about this journey, and she's on. And oh man, it sounded like, oh man, this is gonna be a long journey. But you know what? It has been. But God's been with her through it all. Amen. And her family, and her friends, and her church family, her husband. Number one, God has been with her the whole time. And Amanda, we are so proud of you. Can we congratulate Amanda this morning? Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We worship you. We praise you this morning. Hallelujah. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. There is a new name written down in glory, and it's mine.
yes, it's mine. I met the author of my story, and it's mine. Yes, he's mine.
There is a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Yes, it's mine. Author of my story, and he's mine. Yes, he's mine.
Yes, he's mine.
Yes, he's mine.
Yes, he's mine. Yes, he is. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Author.
Santo, Santo, Santo. This all heaven's mercy see.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on.
Praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Clothed in rainbow,
all of the colors.
Yeah.
Dear God, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for everyone that is here, Lord. And dear God, I just thank you for this church of who it is, Lord, and everyone in it, Lord. And dear God, I just ask that you just bless this Sunday and bless the preaching, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Give the Lord praise this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning, church. Hallelujah. Thank you. Well, this morning we have a special treat for you. None other than our very own Pastor Matt. Let's welcome him as he comes to take the stage this morning. Amen. Thank you. Amen.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Morning, church.
Morning.
This is a new headphone. Normally I drop the cap. This is the first time I dropped the whole bottle. It's a new headphone, so we'll see if I can actually get through this without switching to the hand mic. I'd like to thank Pastor Carlos for allowing me to preach today. It is always a privilege to be able to come behind this pulpit to preach God's word to you, to hopefully get you into a spot where you are growing in your knowledge of God, where you are growing in your commitment to God, where you are taking something that you can apply into your life. And I'm trying to do this in kind of conjunction with the last few sermons we've heard. So Pastor Pepe came up and talked about, which mountain will you choose? Will you choose the mountain of works and power? Are you going to try to just call fire down from heaven, or do you go to a quiet place? Do you find out who God is? Do you get knowledge of him? And last week, Pastor Carlos preached on choosing God, right? That we can be lost, and that there are many ways to be lost, but you are called to always turn back, to come back to Him. And so in this one, we're going to be talking about to know, but also to be known by God. And if you want to turn with me in your Bibles, we're going to Matthew chapter 7. Quizzers will be able to tell you that that is in the Sermon on the Mount, since they have been in Matthew this whole year. And where we're at is the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. So as he is closing out probably his most famous speech, we get three examples, and we're going to be going through them kind of briefly. We're going to be focusing in on the second. And so if you have a Pew Bible, it is going to be page 683. We're going to be looking at Matthew 7. It's going to be 21 through 23. But to shape this for you, this is the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus gives three examples of two groups of people in opposition. So the first one is trees who are bearing fruit, and that you can know a tree by its fruit. A good tree bears good fruit, a bad tree bears bad fruit. And this is a lesson in people who are deceiving other people. Do not be deceived by other people. You can tell them by their fruit. The third one is about hearing the word and not applying it. So it is people who build a foundation on something solid and people who build a house on a foundation of something not solid. If you hear Christ's words and you are not acting in them, then you are going to be in conflict. And the second one, our focus, is on people resting in their works. And what makes this so intense, and I think one of the scariest verses in the Bible, is that this is about people deceiving themselves. Not that you have been deceived from the outside, but that you have deceived yourself from the inside. And so if you just look through this line, what we get is there are people who are deceiving other people. Here's how you can tell them apart. You may be deceiving yourself by relying on your works. And then it ends with, don't think you can't do any works, though. There is a sense of you actually have to apply these words. And so as we go into Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And this is the word of God. So this is one of the scariest verses in the Bible, particularly because the people who are calling out to Christ in this moment believe they are righteous. This is not a group of people who show up, they see Christ, and they go, what have I done? They're planning on walking in, and he is stopping them. What I need you to know, though, is that the Bible, which is the living word of God, inerrantly reveals the will of God concerning us in all things related to salvation. What that means is everything that you need to be saved, everything that you need to know to not be in that group, is in this book without error. And it is meant to give us some assurance that we can be sure that we will not be in that crowd. So we're going to just work through this text, verse by verse. We're going to walk through this and make sure that we are putting you in a position where you can walk out of here knowing that you will not have to hear those words. Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does my will, the will of my Father in heaven. This is a little bit of an aside, but I see it a lot on internet stuff, that people think now that Jesus never claimed his own deity. And if you hear that, if you hear that the deity of Christ was added afterwards, that it's not written explicitly in the Gospels, know that as people are coming up to the gates of heaven to be let in, they are talking to him. This is explicit that Christ is God, that he is the gatekeeper because he owns heaven. So if you ever see that online, just give them sympathy. It has to be hard to be that wrong that often. The other thing that you're seeing here is a repetition of the word Lord. And we've covered this a lot of times when I preach, that when you see a word repeated, it is adding emphasis to it. When Christ says, truly, I say to you, he is saying, this is truth beyond the level of truth that you know. I'm emphasizing truth. When the throne of God is surrounded by angels screaming, holy, 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 when we sing, holy, holy, holy is the name God Almighty, it is saying holy, holier, holiest. And so when these people come up and they are saying, Lord, Lord, these are people who are confessing with their mouth that Christ is Lord. And they're doing it emphatically. That's what makes this scary. So he says that it is not everybody who's saying this, not everybody who knows that I am God will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who is doing the will of the Father. That's basically the point of this sermon, so we're going to put a pin in that. Just know that we will be working through that. But what you do have to know right now is that you cannot do the will of the Father on your own. And we're going to turn to Psalm 51 real quick. This is Psalm 51, verse 10, and it is also terrifying psalm. So King David has gotten Bathsheba pregnant, and to hide this, has sent her husband away on not even a suicide mission. It's actually a homicide mission. He tells the other soldiers to withdraw from him, and he gets caught with it. The prophet Nathan comes up and tells him about it, tells him how he knows what he did. And so, Pew Bibles, this is page 395. But this is what David has to say about it as he's coming before God, knowing all of the wrong he's done. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. This sounds different than a lot of the times that I get caught doing something wrong. Because when I get caught and I have done something wrong, usually I say things like, give me a new chance. Give me one more opportunity to show you that that's not who I am. Don't let this be the last thing that I do. He's not saying give me another chance. He's saying give me another personhood. I can't create this new heart. God, create in me a new heart. And this is why God calls David a man after his own heart. David is literally asking and seeking to have the heart of God put into him. And I want you to know this because this is every messenger almost that God sends out there. And I don't care if you're looking at Jonah, John the Baptist, Peter, Jesus. Every one of them, the message is the same. Repent. Not try harder. Not next time, don't mess it up. Turn from where you are and face God. So we get a little bit farther into these verses. Chapter 7, we're back in Matthew, verse 22. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? These are people who are relying on their works. And I want you to think about how odd that should sound, to think that you can approach the perfect, holy, creator of the entire universe and say, but look how great I am. Look at me. Wasn't I doing these things? That's not how grace works. You know, I was just thinking about this in the pews. This isn't in my notes. But every year, Shaquille O'Neal goes to a Walmart and just buys out everything on layaway right before Christmas. He goes to a Walmart and says, if you have something on layaway, it's paid for. You don't have to worry about it. And I have never, ever seen the news story of a Walmart in Los Angeles saying, Shaq, Shaq, didn't I burn my Lakers jersey when you got traded to Miami? Of course not, because that's not why Shaq is doing this. How arrogant do we have to be to stand before God and say, I'm not being let in? Look at what I did. Look at my life. Look at your life. Wow. You know, Romans 10 says that if you confess Christ with your mouth and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, you will be saved. So when we have a group of people who are confessing with their mouth, Lord, Lord, I can tell you exactly which part of the equation they did not have. They did not truly believe in their heart that Christ was risen. And you can tell because it will affect the way that you approach every single thing in your life. Every problem, every opportunity, every choice is modified when you realize that Christ is risen. We move on now to the last verse of this. Verse 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. This is incredible because, like I said, it is showing that Christ is God. And so when he says, I never knew you, that means you don't get in. Imagine if I went to the White House right now and as the Secret Service was asking me for ID, I was like, no, I know Joe Biden. I know that guy. He's my president. Awesome. What happens, though, if Joe Biden comes out and goes, Matt, come on in. I get a fast track into the White House. I don't know Joe Biden. He doesn't know me. Don't give me that look. I am not going to be able to walk into the White House. But when you have the King of Heaven, when you walk in, it doesn't matter that you go, that's Jesus. I know him. If he doesn't look at you and say, Matt? I mean, obviously with less surprise. Sorry, that came out weird. You get into places by being known by the owner, not by knowing the owner. And so what God wants is for us not to rely on our works. Because, their works? Yeah, you're prophesying in his name. Who gave you the prophecy? Sure, you called down fire to burn up the burnt offerings. Who provided the fire? Is it you, Elijah? No. What he wants us to rely on is relationship. And when you are broken in your relationship, you will hide yourself from God. And we see this on like page 2. What happens as soon as sin enters the world? Adam and Eve, they eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They have separated themselves and said to God, I think I should define morality. And the first thing they have to do is cover themselves up and hide from God. The intimacy that God is seeking from you. I mean, as the church, we are the bride of Christ. That intimacy is coming from you not hiding, from God not having to call out as he walks through the garden, Adam, where are you? But for you to stand before the Lord with all of your flaws, to say, I am not worthy. If I didn't trust in your love, I would be hiding, but I am going to open myself to you, Lord. I want an intimate relationship. It is not enough for me to know you. I want you to know me. And throughout the Old Testament, this is God's promise, and it echoes from every single prophet. I will be your God, and you will be my people. That is a two-way street. And so often we get into this section where we say, he will be my God, and I'm going to be my own person. Because I have grown up in a very Western idealized culture where we put the mark of the individual as the highest righteousness that somebody can attain. He is reaching out for a true intimate relationship. And James says, so you believe that God is one? Good. So do the demons, and they tremble. When God approaches, when Jesus comes in and he is approaching demon-possessed people, they call him Lord. They recognize his authority, but they have been in a state of relationship where there is no intimacy possible. Where they say, I know you, but I will know you from afar. So as we get into this idea of this intimacy, what is the will of the Father? Micah 6:6 sums it up perfectly. What have I asked of you, O man, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Think about that last one, because I know I have often gotten caught up on the first two. I want to do justice. I want to love mercy. That's prophesying in his name, casting out demons in his name. But to walk humbly with your God, God is calling us and wants us to return to that intimate knowledge that we shared in Eden, where he could stroll with us in the cool of the day. He wants that so much that he sent Christ to bring us back. Christ, who stands in our place on the cross, the eternally perfect Son of God, who had never failed through eternity to do the will of the Father. As he is nailed to a cross for our sin, has to call out, my God, why have you forsaken me? For the first time, he calls upon his Father, and instead of seeing his face, is met with silence. And what is that silence from the Father saying? Depart from me. I never knew you. That is the call that each and every one of us deserve. As you walk through those gates, and Christ has taken that. He has taken that moment from you and said, I will hear, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, so that you can hear what I deserve. Well done, my good and faithful servant. In that moment, Christ brought us back. He redeemed us from every sin that we would ever commit if we would just repent, to turn away from our life, to seek after a new heart given by God, so that when we show up on Judgment Day, we wouldn't have to yell, Lord, Lord, didn't I preach your word? Lord, Lord, didn't I lead a small group? Lord, Lord, didn't I give my tithe? But that we would be able to come in and say, Lord, Lord, it's me. You know me. That moment, as Christ is on the cross, is the birth of the church. He created a foundation, not of people who would meet once a week and try to be better than the week before, who would go out and feed the homeless. And I am not, obviously, I helped feed the homeless on the last one. It's not a problem. But that's not what we're here for. All of those are natural outflows from the creation of a family who would come behind each other and walk together in intimate relationship with God. Known by Christ and known by each other. We are the bride of Christ. And if you walk in here week after week and you are still hiding, what do you think you're going to do before the King of Kings? We are called to be a unit that we can be safe together, but that we can walk as a herd known by Christ towards him and his redemption. The will of the Father is that when you come before him, you would not say, "Lord, Lord, wasn't I great?" But that humbly, after walking with him, you would say, "How great thou art." We're going to go into a time now of confessing God with our mouth. If you confess Christ with your mouth and you believe in your heart, you will be saved. And I don't think that that is meant to be a one-time, I confessed, I believed, I'm good. So I don't care if you are, and I don't mean I don't care, I'm very proud. But I don't care if you have been somebody who has been walking humbly with God for 60 years, or if you are somebody who has said, "I have been relying so much on my own works. I have looked out and seen that everything that I do will come to an end. And I can't. I need to rely on the eternal promise, the eternal strength of God." If this is your first time, confess with us. If this is your 1,000th time, confess with us. And if you believe in your heart, you will be saved. So if I could have everybody stand to your feet with me, and we are going to say this in chorus. Should be a slide. Is it? Okay. Next one, please. We believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Church of Jesus Christ, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. That is known as the Apostles' Creed. It has been confessed by followers of Christ for thousands of years. This is the basic tenets of what Christianity is. And if you could honestly confess that with your mouth, if you could say that and believe it, that it would be in your heart in a way that was transforming to you, then when you come up, you will not have to have any concern about being told, "Depart from me." Because you will not only know God, but you will be known by him. Amen. As we come to a close, I want to thank Pastor Carlos again for allowing me this opportunity to preach. I hope it was educational for you. Amen. If you said this Apostles' Creed for the first time, and not just this creed, but if you have not come into a saving relationship with Christ until this moment, I will strongly urge you to not leave this building without talking to somebody about it, without approaching a leader in this church and saying, I now am known by God. What can I do? As we leave, we're going to close in some prayer, and then I'm going to give you a benediction as we depart. So if you would bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you that you are a God who seeks intimacy with us. That as we read about any other depiction of a God, it is one who is far away. But the living God, the true Lord of this universe, has decided to come down for us, with us, has presented himself as Christ in order to be truly intimate with us. We thank you that we can both know you and be known by you. We ask that you would be moving in our hearts, that you would create a new heart in us, so that we may move truly fulfilling the will of the Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now today's benediction, and you'll be dismissed after it, is from Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Thank you, church. You're dismissed. Have a wonderful week.
Yeah.